This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
And it is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop hundreds of Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan.
Thank you, Woody. And Eric Wood, good friend, Bills radio analyst and former longtime Buffalo Bills center, joins us this morning. Eric, how you been, man?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Joe?
I'm hanging in there. Hey, you guys have ruined a lot down here for us, man, through the years here. And trying to get a read on your team. A lot of new receivers. You got some guys gone from last year's team. Some guys injured. Milano's out. I'm just curious, does this team feel as good or can be as good as last year's team?
I do, and I think it could be, you know, potentially more upside down the road when you get some younger players in there, guys that, you know, you haven't seen maybe what their potential could be. Now, there may be some lumps along the way when it comes to that. The Bills have had so much consistency with kind of that big core of veteran players that a lot of them that, you know, those names that moved on this offseason, Tre'Davious White, Jordan Poyer's out of Miami, Micah Hyde, Mitch Morris, longtime center. There's a number of names that they moved on from this offseason. So new faces, which isn't always a bad thing. I just think that we saw it at the start of last week against the Cardinals. There's going to be some growing pains. And Bills found a way to win against the Dolphins last week, similar to how the Dolphins came back against the Jags late. So, you know, I think this team is still trying to figure themselves out, especially on the defensive side of the ball. But, you know, there's still a lot of hope for this team this year.
Eric, I was just watching the highlights. I didn't get a chance to see the actually watch the Buffalo Bills play, but Josh Allen throwing a couple of touchdowns and then some of those crazy runs that he makes. I'm just wondering, when you see him go over the top, especially to get in the end zone, and he does this a lot, you're used to seeing it. Do you ever just like, oh, man, oh, because he's a durable dude. What's your thoughts on sometimes being a little reckless and physical the way he plays?
Oh, you know, he'll drive you nuts calling the games. I'm sure the guys in the front office and the coaching staff are saying the same, but, I mean, you just can't take it out of him. Every year you go into the season and, he's going to be more of a pocket passer. He's not going to put his body on the line, but, you know, in crunch time of games when you got a tight game like they did against the Cardinals, he's going to do what he's got to do to get in the end zone. You know, he earned his respect from his teammates a long, long time ago. He doesn't need to do that stuff, but that's just how he's wired. He's a big-time competitor, aggressive, physical player. Now, you want to, you know, pull that out of him as much as you can, but ultimately, the guy's a playmaker, and it's split-second decisions, and his brain's still wired to go over the top of a guy. He described that play against Buda Baker when he hurdled him in the end zone. He said, "Look, I was going to try and make a move or run him over, but that's Buda Baker. When I saw him, I figured I better try and go over the top because this dude's going to light me up." And the fact that that's what hits his brain is, it can put you on a roller coaster ride.
Yeah, no question about it. So you know this number. Josh Allen's 11-2 with a playoff win being the odd number there. In 6 years playing against the Miami Dolphins, we have some of the games have been close, including the last game last year to see who was going to win the AFC East. But he comes up with a lot of plays no matter what. Just seems like he plays some of his best football against the Dolphins. You see him against everybody. Is there's always that one team that a guy will play great against. Are we at it for Josh Allen?
You know, I think part of the reason was, especially early on in his career, he thrived better against man coverage. It's easier for young quarterbacks to process that. And then, especially when you're going to take off and run, all the second-level defenders generally don't have their eyes on the quarterback. You know, it wasn't as much of that last year, and you got another new defensive coordinator down there last year. So I don't know if it's necessarily team and personnel. I think some of it was scheme early on. But it's also one of those deals where when you get familiarity with the team, and so you become a little bit more comfortable going against the squad, and it just seems like, you know, he's played a lot of really good football against Miami. Now, part of that was, I feel like, predicated by some of the defensive coordinators early on in Josh's career that the Dolphins had that were running a lot of man-to-man defense. And, you know, it's one of those things where now when it comes to third down, teams will barely ever even run man-to-man against Josh Allen, knowing that if they give up the slightest crease up front, he's going to go steal the first down with his legs.
Yeah, he's gone in a heartbeat. You are exactly right about that. So I always wonder about this. We've talked so much in the offseason about the receiving core. Your starters from last year are both gone on the outside. Coleman, the rookie, and some other guys, can they be as good? Are they good enough for Josh to have success throwing the football throughout this season?
You know, I think it's more of a sum of the parts, and they're really excited about both their tight ends, Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox. And then on the outside, it's more by committee. So it's less, hey, let's force the ball to a number one receiver. We got to keep him involved in the game. We want to keep him locked in. And it's more, hey, let's attack individual matchups. What's the coverage giving us here, and can we exploit it? Keon Coleman had a nice first game, had a few nice catches, and then he also drew two penalties that won't show up on the stat sheet, but both went for first downs when they needed them. And so, you know, he's showing some promise. Mac Hollins comes in. He had a nice game. He caught a touchdown last week. Curtis Samuel's going to be more of your gadget-type player. And then Khalil Shakir, he's a guy that last year really produced in the second half of the season and produced enough that the Bills front office felt comfortable enough to move on from Diggs and Davis. So, you know, you hope that it's addition by subtraction.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see as the season goes on how that plays out, though.
I got to ask you about a guy from down here in South Florida who was taken in the first round, Gregory Rousseau, 3 sacks in the first game. It's a hell of a start. Is he getting better? You see him getting better as a pass rusher and overall defensive lineman?
I do, and this is a guy that kind of struggled with injuries these last few years. He'd get an ankle here. He broke a bone in his foot last year and played through it, which really hurt his production, but he's a tough dude, and so he plays through it. This is a guy, I covered him when he was at the University of Miami when he was a year and a half, 2 years away from playing receiver in high school.
Right.
And look, when you get a guy with the wingspan he has, he's 6'6", he can run, he's now developed into this huge defensive end. You don't get a guy like that in the very tail end of the first round unless he's some type of a project player. Otherwise, he's a top 5, top 10 pick. And so the Bills knew there was going to be some development, but he seems to be really coming into his game. And then, like you know this, Joe, it generally takes 2 guys winning up front for someone to get a sack. Otherwise, the quarterback can generally avoid that one. Well, Von Miller played better last week. The defensive tackles were pushing the pocket, so Greg even said it himself. Look, yeah, I made a few plays here today, but those don't happen if we don't have other guys getting around the quarterback too.
Eric, I got to ask you about the other team everybody's talking about that's in the picture here with the Jets and Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if you saw any of last night's game. How do you look at the Jets? And defensively, they were really good a year ago. Last night, you would have never known that, but what do you think of the Jets?
Yeah, they're interesting. So they have the issues with Hassan Reddick. You know, they go out and make a big free agent acquisition who bring in a big-time pass rusher, and he's not out there last night. And, you know, to me, you know, it's gonna come down to, can Rodgers stay healthy the whole season? And if so, I think it's a 3-horse race in the division, even though New England's sitting there at 1-0 right now after a nice win against the Bengals in week 1. But I don't know. The Jets are confusing to me. And when McCaffrey was out last night, I thought that they would have a pretty good chance of taking that game last night out in San Francisco. But instead, they ended up San Francisco ends up running away from it. Man, I really like that young running back they got in Jordan Mason, too, or Jordan Mason.
Wow.
As a former offensive lineman, I'm watching that dude run thinking, golly, that dude lowers his pads when he needs to. He makes a move when he needs to. He's got good vision. Seems to be another good fit in a Shanahan offense out there.
Boy, he does, doesn't he? Man, no question about that. So last year, I mean, I don't know if I've had a chance to see and touch. So you guys are – You guys are 6-6. We're 9-3. I watch a heartbreaker against the Eagles. You guys have the game, and friggin' guy kicks like a 70-yard field goal. I'm exaggerating a little bit.
Right.
In the crummy
in the
weather.
Rain.
Yeah. Like he couldn't do it again, like in the rest of his career. And I go, it's done. All right, ball game. We're going to have this. And those guys friggin' went on. I don't think they lost another game till you lost to Kansas City. Did you ever get to a point where you're going, yeah, it's not going to happen this year? Did you think they would have that kind of, what, 5 or 6 wins in a row?
I'm not going to say I doubted it, because they've had that kind of mid-season lull multiple times, especially since I've been covering the team and been in the radio booth. And when you got as much talent as they had, they just seem to be dropping games. They got hit with the injury bug. Like, Miami had it late last year. The Bills got it in that London game. And so Tre'Davious White tears his Achilles against the Dolphins. What was that, week 3, week 4, they go to London.
Right.
And we lose 2 more starters on our defense, and Matt Milano and Daquan Jones. And so it took them a while to kind of adjust to life without those 3 guys. And then towards the end of the season, they started playing some of their best ball. And, you know, Sean McDermott does a good job of keeping those guys consistent throughout the season, rallying the troops, and was able to pull it off again last year and win the division.
Yeah, crazy stuff. Eric, thank you, man. Really appreciate it. I'll see you in a couple of days, man. A little Thursday night football with the Bills to kick things off. Sounds good.
Yep, absolutely. Looking forward to seeing you, brother.
All right. Eric Wood, Bills radio analyst with us, former Buffalo Bill. Really, really good dude, man. Really, really good guy with the Bills. And they must enjoy it. They've had some good trips, but it's got to come to an end, man. It's got to stop. No more. No more.
Get them on Thursday, bro.
Got to get them Thursday, bro. We got everybody going, we got to get you Thursday, bro.
This has got to be the one, though, right?
Yes. This just feels
How big is that Javon Holland strip, man? How big is that right now?
It's huge.
You're going to this game 0-1. You're probably thinking, oh, boy, here we go again. Meltdown starting earlier.
How about
than we
4
had
days going 2-0?
Yeah.
4 days apart, 2-0. Get that tough Thursday night game out of the way, get a win. But you just can't let the Bills beat you twice.
But this is a good situation, because you'll have a stranglehold on the division, because the Jets will be 0-2 by Sunday.
Cannot happen. Just can't
happen.
Should
be in good shape.
All right. Listen, let's go to break here. But before we do, I want to take a second this morning to tell you about your South Florida Chevy dealers. Can't do it enough, man. Not when you drive a Tahoe. Oh, boy, do I love my Tahoe. And I beat it up, man. I'm tough on it. I sweat in it. My workout stuff's in there. My tennis stuff. It's durable and always ready to go. I love it. Suburbans and Tahoes are big, comfortable SUVs. Matter of fact, let you know, Tahoe's got a brand new look coming out at the end of the year, man. If you're waiting to see, or you didn't know, I want to just give you a heads up on that one. But the midsize SUV, that Traverse, smoking hot, man. Really nice looking. So much room for a midsize. Trailblazer, an Equinox, and a Blazer. Really got something for everybody, man, in our SUV family. I always start with it, but listen, our number one seller is our big, strong, durable Silverado truck. Silverado HDs, man, they're just, hey, you need a full-time working truck that you can depend on, that's going to be there for you when you're beating it up and you're working hard, and Silverado's right there with you, man. It's not going to miss a day. Ready to go with you, whether you work 5 days a week, 6, 7 days a week in the back of that truck, not a problem. And you need a truck for the whole family, we've got them all for you, man. New and used with low mileage, ready to go for you right now. Hey, and I got to tell you, I always talk about the Corvette, because I think the Corvette is the sexiest thing on the road right now. Boy, Chevy, been a hot one for us, man. Been a hot one for us. If you haven't been to your South Florida Chevy dealers, we've got convenient locations all over South Florida. Dade, Broward, even Monroe County for you to stop by and take some test drives, man. Check out that showroom. Qualified buyers get 1.9% APR on all 2024 Silverado 1500s, the Blazer EV, the Equinox, the Trailblazer, or Blazer, and all the Colorado models. Chevrolet, together, let's drive in South Florida. Hey, you know something we didn't talk about here with the Dolphins, too, and we're going to have Kyle Krabs' Locked on Fence podcast come up and break down a bunch of stuff that he can do. And the Dolphins in week 1 got nothing out of a third wide receiver, and nothing out of the tight end position. Now, whether they call him an F or they call him a tight end or they call him, they didn't get anything out of that position, really. So it's incredible. 400 yards of offense, you really break it down, and most of it goes to Achan, Waddle, and Hill, and obviously Tua in the middle of all of it. But and you still find a way to win. Now, they've got to get – you suit up some receiver. You got to be able to get more out of a third wide receiver position, and it didn't work there. But also, you're suiting up a lot of tight ends. We've just got to – now, listen, they tried. Don't get me wrong. There were some plays and, you know, had a chance for some plays, but we got to get some production and get this thing balanced a little bit more. I say that. Maybe I should – Woody, should I just stop saying that? Because every year every game I say that, and then it's, you know, 12 targets for Tyreek, and it's 5 or 6 or 7 on the other side. Next thing you know, you're looking at damn near 20 targets between your two special guys on the outside.
Well, I think the problem becomes those guys, you know, you think they're going to go every game. At some point, they're going to be banged up, right? So it would be nice to see someone develop a little bit of a role. But I know they tried to get Braxton the ball a few times. That didn't go over really well.
Did you catch the punt return? We didn't talk about this. Tyreek was on a punt return.
I did see that.
That surprised me.
Hey, by the way, this whole kickoff thing has been very interesting for the first week. Like, I for the life of me, don't understand why teams just still don't kick it out the back of the end zone. There are some big kick returns.
Like us, yeah. We saw a touchdown.
Yeah, why? Like, what's
we saw
what
a 60-yarder. We saw a 50-yarder. So there was
like, what's the best case scenario? You get the guy down
success.
At the 20?
There was definitely some success.
Yeah, I just don't see why you don't kick it out the back of the end zone still. It just seems stupid to try to, you know, to risk a touchdown or whatever.
So let me ask you this. It's a really interesting, because I had actually a bunch of people, it's been all negative for people with me with the new kickoff, everybody. Matter of fact, somebody asked me yesterday about, I hate it. I hate the new kickoff. Why are they doing it? I go, well, because of injury and the concussion. The percentage of concussions on special teams was really high, and they're trying to cut back lawsuits. And so I broke it down every step, but people don't like it. And the thing is, so
it's very gimmicky, man.
But the kick. So the commissioner meets with these guys. They put Darren Rizzi in charge of it, right, to kind of oversee it with some other coordinators, special teams coordinators involved. So these guys all get involved, and they come up with hey, we got to save this thing, or, you know, the coordinator's job is going to take a big hit. So they're trying everything. And then we've already got teams coming out, especially, look at the Dolphins have not been great on coverage. We have not been great on coverage. It's not a shot, but it is a shot. We're not good, and we give up touchdowns. So we got Jason just ripping it. Jason Sanders, like, through the back of the end zone.
Well, that's what you should be doing. After watching it for a week now, that there's no way you should put the ball in play.
Who got the – oh, Chicago. Did Chicago get the touchdown? Was that the team?
Probably.
Chicago scored everything but offense. Yeah, that was
– but there's just – I don't see any reason to do it, and it's complicated. It's gimmicky, this kickoff.
It's not complicated,
no way, no
man.
Way this thing makes
now
it.
You're, why did I even bring this?
So last night we're sitting there watching the game. My wife makes her way into the room, and she, you know, there's a kick kicking off, and she goes, what's the landing zone? And I was like, can you just leave? Just go back to whatever you were doing.
You know what is bad? It is bad. Like, according to where it goes and stuff, it's got different where you start from. It's really weird. It's got like, well, if it goes here, it starts at the 25. But if it goes here, it starts at the 40. And
I didn't want to admit, I basically don't know either. Apparently, by the way, if it bounces in the landing zone and then bounces out.
Yes.
That's a 20-yard line?
I don't
25,
know. I, honestly.
22-yard line?
I said
somewhere.
Something during
Split
the preseason.
The
I was know. Wrong about where it was going to start from, but you're right. If you're not sure where all of a sudden your special teams guys are more about offense or defense and you don't feel good about it, just kick it out of the back of the end zone. But isn't the commissioner going to be looking, going, hey, guys, these numbers are the same – from what they've been. And then if you give up one, people are going, how the hell can you give up one? The way this is set up, how can? So we had last week a 50-yard return, a 60-yard return, and a touchdown. Oh, you know who it was that had the touchdown? It was the old running back for the Miami Hurricanes. Was it Dallas?
DJ Dallas.
DJ, yeah. Dallas had it.
No, you know who it was? It was Tyreek Stevenson had a return for the Bears. I think it was a pick six, though, right?
It was.
And I think they had a punt return. They blocked a punt or something and then got it. That's
how
was.
They scored. We're trying, yeah, to figure out how they got 24 points with no offense. How the hell did they win that game?
It's impressive.
More unfortunately, how do you lose that game? Like, if, yeah, you're sitting there going, we didn't give up an offensive touchdown.
Thought Tennessee would be better than that, man. I don't know.
They're only good last year against us.
Yeah, I suppose so.
With 5 minutes left, that's when they are really
It's very
really
weird
good.
To not give up a touchdown and lose like that, but
that's a bad loss when you're going, yeah, really? Really?
By the way, the Bears are the most hyped team of the offseason, and they look like crap, and they find a way to win.
We found out all the rookie quarterbacks that look so good in the preseason. I am learning my lesson. Stop reading into how somebody plays in preseason. Don't do it. Because here's what you're going to get. A very generic defense that doesn't show anything, and you're playing against a lot of guys who are twos and threes on everybody else's team. And then you go out and you look like Bo Nix and you look like all the rest of these guys, and then the season kicks in and you have trouble throwing for 100 yards and you throw two picks because now you're playing against everybody's best players with a game plan against you. And then you got a big problem. Then it doesn't work. Hey, I'll tell you what does work, having Kyle Crabbs on, man. Locked On Fence Podcast, going to join us and break down the Miami Dolphins a little bit. Give you some grades, by the way, on who looked really good, including a couple of offensive tackles had nice games for the Miami Dolphins. Yes, sir. We'll tell you who else had it. That's coming up next.